Good afternoon. The title of my talk is Dark Matter Does Not Exist. Under the condition, if redshifts of galaxy velocities are corrected for cosmic dust. My name is Thomas Provencewick. I'm an American living in Hong Kong and Berlin. The preface, nanoscience as the science of the very small and the search for dark matter in the universe may appear to be unrelated, but find commonality in nanoparticles. In nanoscience, nanoparticles are thought to conserve heat by increasing in temperature. You add heat, you get an increase in temperature. But the Planck law of quantum mechanics requires the heat capacity of the quantum-sized nanoparticles to vanish, and therefore there's no temperature increase. This may bother some of you here today. History. In 1926, Hubble discovered the universe was expanding based on velocity measurements inferred from the Doppler redshifts of light from recessing galaxies. The cosmic dust nanoparticles permeate the universe, and as the galaxy light travels to the Earth, it interacts with cosmic dust matter. Astronomers assume the light-matter interaction followed classical physics that today has, in my opinion at least, led to dark matter. But if you assume quantum mechanics, there is no dark matter, and I'll try to show you that today. And in 1950, the radio astronomy discovery of the 21-centimeter line of neutral hydrogen atoms based on temperature fluctuations supported dark matter. And in the 1970s, Vera Rubin confirmed dark matter for the M31 spiral galaxy. And scientists generally agree that dark matter is invisible, having about 5 times the mass of ordinary matter, but what it is and how it was formed has remained a mystery. Here's a brief description of the comparison between quantum mechanics and classical physics. Classical physics allows the quantum-sized dust nanoparticles and neutral hydrogen atoms to fluctuate in temperature. Quantum mechanics forbids that temperature fluctuation as atom heat capacity to vanish. If there's no heat capacity, there can't be any change in temperature. This implies the conservation of galaxy photons by non-thermal mechanisms. And for nanoparticles, the galaxy photon is conserved by redshifted optical emission, no temperature change. And in hydrogen atoms, the galaxy photon is conserved by the optical emission of the 21-centimeter line. Again, no temperature changes. Quantum mechanics requires optical telescopes and rejects radio telescopes that use temperature fluctuations for the 21-centimeter line. I think you can see why, because there's no heat capacity possible. So the proposal I'd like to make is that dark matter is not a physical property of the universe, despite all the reports you've probably heard of people trying to measure it. It can be discovered by experiment and only exists because optical redshifts were not corrected for cosmic dust. If there weren't any cosmic dust, I wouldn't be giving this talk. Radio redshifts of the 21-centimeter line based on fluctuating temperatures, therefore, have no meaning by quantum mechanics and will be excluded further from this talk. I won't be mentioning this because it just can't happen. So I'm going to confine myself to optical redshifts, and basically this is the wavelength of the galaxy photons, lambda. The change in that will be caused by the recession velocity of the galaxy, delta lambda v, and the what I call the change in wavelength due to the dust particles. And here you see delta V lambda and delta lambda D, cosmic dust in the galaxy. And ZV then is the redshift is then delta lambda V over lambda, and ZD is delta lambda D over lambda. And the sum of these two is the total measured redshift. Now, when Hubble did this in 1926, he assumed there was no ZD. And that has continued to this day. Heat capacity of the atom. Here you see a plot, Planck energy and electron volts here of the atom on the ordinate. And on the abscissa, you see the electromagnetic confinement wavelength in microns. And then this is the Planck law of quantum mechanics. And if you plot it out at 300 degrees Kelvin here, you get this yellow curve. And at 2.7 degrees Kelvin in outer space, you get this blue line. Now, classical physics is noted by, I've shown here, is noted by a dotted line. And it allows the nanoparticle atoms for any electromagnetic confinement to always have heat capacity, the same KT energy, as you can see. Quantum mechanics differs. It requires the heat capacity of the atoms of the nanoparticles less than KT and high electromagnetic. If you have high electromagnetic confinement down in this region, you can see there is no heat capacity. But you have to ask the question, how do nanoparticles provide electromagnetic confinement less than 0.1 micron? And you know nanoparticles down here, they're submicron. So you can see, how do you go from, let's say out here, 1,000 microns down to here? What is the physical mechanism that allows you to do that? Well, the electromagnetic confinement is really the consequence of high S over V ratios of nanoparticles. S over V is surface to volume, and you know at the nanoscale the surface to volume ratio is very high. So what this means is almost all of the galaxy photon energy that's absorbed is deposited in the nanoparticle surface, and the nanoparticle atoms are momentarily placed under electromagnetic confinement. Momentarily placed. And since the nanoparticles are submicron, the electromagnetic confinement is also submicron, and the heat capacity vanishes. Simple QED. Now, this is not Feynman's complex relativistic QED. Simple QED is proposed to conserve the heat from absorbed galaxy light under electromagnetic confinement is far simpler. Briefly stated, under quantum mechanical restriction, if the heat capacity vanishes, the heat of the galaxy light absorbed in the surface creates standing electromagnetic radiation, having half wavelength lambda over 2 equal to d, and here d is the diameter of the nanoparticle. The equation that you get for the Planck energy is shown here. And actually all that this n is really the refractive index of the nanoparticle, and it reduces the speed of light inside. And it comes out to AC over 2nd. And once the electromagnetic confinement is depleted in creating the standing wave, there is no more confinement, and the standing wave photon escapes and travels to Earth as the cosmic dust, ZD, redshift to galaxy light. You know, I call this fine corrected redshift. On the ordinate here, you see the QED redshift, Z sub D, on the abscissa of the cosmic dust radius. This is D over 2 now. And on the right, you see the galaxy velocity ratio, V over C. This is the velocity of the receding galaxy, and C is the speed of light. And that's given by this blue curve. As you can see, depending on the size of the nanoparticle, the cosmic dust, you can approach the speed of light. Here's unity. So even without the galaxy moving at all, the cosmic dust nanoparticle can give you the impression that the galaxy is receding near the speed of light, when in fact it isn't at all. The other two curves here, the yellow and white curve, this is known as the redshift Z sub D, and this is done for the Lyman alpha photon with this wavelength, and here's the H alpha. Now, no, they're not the same. And but in any regard, this is plotted based on 2nd minus lambda over lambda. So, but going back to Hubble now, he assumed that the Lyman alpha photon and the H alpha photon, if they're emitted from the same receding galaxy, they have to have the same redshift. And that, as you can see, is not true. At the nanoparticle level, they're quite different. But what you can do from this, you can argue, you can provide a means of correcting for the measured redshift. And since if you take the measured redshift and subtract off the difference between these two, of course, if they're the same, there is the measured and the corrected is the same. But this will give you a measure of the validity of your redshift measurements. So the summary, in cosmic dust, simple QED redshift the galaxy photon because quantum mechanics precludes conservation by temperature. And basically the galaxy photon comes into a nanoparticle without heat capacity, it will create a redshifted photon. Here is a nanoparticle diameter D. Here's the galaxy photon, wavelength lambda coming in. It's absorbed. It goes into the surface, high surface to volume ratio. There's no temperature change by quantum mechanics. And it creates then a standing wave inside the nanoparticle, lambda over 2 equal to d. And then it will come out as a redshifted photon of wavelength 2 and d. This is the basic equation. And the frequency, c over n times lambda, lambda over 2 is equal to d, and Planck energy is equal to h up. Now, discussions. Dark matter, accelerating universe, expansion, or many more. You can see them on my paper on the web. The dark matter, and on the Edron view, if you look at a spiral galaxy on edge, the M31 was thought to have a flat velocity profile, while Newtonian mechanics suggests decreasing velocity with radius. You probably know about this. Here I show an edge on view of a spiral galaxy spinning. The Newtonian mechanics predicts a decreasing velocity issue here, and I call that ZV. And what you measure with the telescope, so as you get a rectangular distribution, I've shown that by this yellow rectangle. And clearly the ZD here for the yellow rectangle is a lot greater than that for ZV. So the dust redshift ZD is uniform along the radius because the galaxy illuminates about the same amount of cosmic dust nanoparticles along the line of sight to the Earth. So the light from the galaxy is coming towards you, but there's dust between you and the galaxy. But the velocity inferred from the dust redshift dwarf the recession velocity. You can see here, I've exaggerated this, but the dust redshift is greater than ZV. So you don't even know this is happening. You think it's all constant. And but regardless, Newtonian mechanics is valid if the dust corrections are made. And then with regard to accelerated expansion, the supernova were found brighter than they should have been. And this led the astronomers to conclude that the universe is not only expanding, but the expansion is accelerating. This is a sketch of the Earth here in yellow. Here's a galaxy, a bright galaxy. Here's a dim galaxy. And I've put in the redshift for the velocity here between these two, and then the dust over here, velocity here. So the redshift ZD greater than zero means that the supernova appears further away. And as you can see here, Z major is equal to ZV plus VD. But it's brighter because the supernova is actually at ZV. So the supernova is actually here, but with the redshift due to dust, it appears further away. So what this means is the accelerating universe is not physical, but rather an anomaly of redshift in the cosmic dust. And the conclusions then are that cosmology by cosmic dust is not a groundbreaking theoretical work, but rather based on long-forgotten Planck law of quantum mechanics formulated over a century ago. And simple QED may initiate a simpler cosmology to explain astronomical observations, and by refuting current theories for dark matter and universe expansion, perhaps cosmology will return to Einstein's once upon a time static and dynamic universe. Well, that's all I have. This is my email and my homepage. Take a look at the homepage for the paper I referred to earlier. Thank you very much.